This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and tomorrow is the 4th of July. So, first of all, happy 4th of July to everyone. But also, no one is going to be in at my major client tomorrow. Which is always kind of nice. It's kind of nice. Because I know no one's going to be calling me. And I know there's nothing really I need to check on. So, we are closing the month tonight. And we had to do a little procedure that we don't normally do this close to the end of the month. We think everything's going to be fine. Should be fine. Looks like it's going to be fine. It was checked. So, you know, so we'll see. So that's that little piece of it, that there might be something. Whoa. A policeman has got someone pulled over in the parking lot of my major client. Don't usually see that. So there's that little bit, but while we are closing the month, we're only putting through like 30 batches tonight. So hopefully everything will go fine. Hopefully. I should say from the beginning, I should have said this is episode 275, but I should also say that I might be a little loopy. I am trying a 3-day fast. Haven't done a 3-day fast in lots of years. Last time I did it, I didn't remember it being too bad. I remember being hungry the second day, but then kind of, you know, never mind after that. But this is day 2. So it's Thursday and Thursday afternoon, and I haven't eaten anything since Tuesday night. I do need to drink water, so I'll be drinking water while I talk. But so far so good. You know, not too bad. Little psychological things here and there, but was able to get some good work done today, and it's fine. Got one more day to go tomorrow. Had mentioned on the podcast, I had read that a 3-day fast can actually do a lot of good for you. Reset your immune system. Good thing. So I thought when I read that several weeks ago, you know what? Maybe we should try that. And I picked specifically today, this week, because headquarters was going to be closed on Friday. And I knew everybody was going to be on vacation. Didn't have to worry about that. And I was already going to be fasting on Wednesday. So, you know, just seemed like a good weekend to try it. So we're trying it. Which means that if I say some things today that make some people potentially mad at some point, I can just say, well, it was because I was fasting and I was a little loopy. So there you go. What? I've had some nice conversations with friends this week. Had a great breakfast this morning with a buddy. Talked about hierarchy and relationship and all that stuff. Going to have another little conversation when I get home with another friend. And so it's good. I have officially started the new book now. I started on Friday working through. At first I thought I was going to do an introduction, and then I started thinking about it. I thought, you know, by the time you get to book 10 in this series and you're trying to do introductions, that's not going to fly. So what I did was I ended up with a cast, an introductory chapter called Cast and Terminology. And that way I can just kind of sweep through the important stuff, bang, 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 and then I can just get started on chapter 1. So I got the cast and terminology done over the weekend. And then got started with chapter 1. I'm in the middle of chapter 1 now. Had a few distractions this week from the writing standpoint, because Monday was pretty much Monday evening was gone. It just got chewed up. Because I tried to get home a little earlier because I knew I had plenty to do. Monday was the end of the month, and so I did my invoicing for the month, you know, paid some bills, got that all squared away. But then also Monday was when all the books came in and for beta readers, and so I needed to get them all signed and packaged up and get them mailed. So, I talked to my godson from California on Monday for a little bit, and so I knew that was coming up too, so I didn't actually get in bed until after midnight, which would have made it early Tuesday morning, but that's okay, we made it, we got them all mailed, so, you know, I started on the new book, and that seems to be going fine. I don't exactly know where we're going yet. I have some ideas, some things I'd like to try, and so we'll see. So it's always fun because it's always so blank, and then you just start telling a story, and then you think, oh, I could go over there, and oh, I could go over there, and oh, that would be interesting, and oh, looky looky, I'm done with another book. It's just, it's really, really interesting. So at this point, I have 3 or 4 major plot points I know I want to get to. And I have a parable that I know I want to reference. And I have a nursery rhyme that I know I want to reference. And I kind of know what this book is supposed to do in terms of moving the reader to a certain point. So we're just going to keep plowing along and see where this story goes. And it's just, oh, I love writing. Because I tell myself the story just as much as I'm writing the story for other people. And it's just fascinating. It's just fascinating to live all those lives of the other characters. Imagine what it would be like if, you know, you were them. It's fun stuff. Fun. I do need to do one other thing. It was the first of the month this week, and so I did finances, and part of doing finances is putting together the check for my retirement fund, and I didn't get a chance to get that mailed today. And I need to do that because the retirement fund is very important. And so I'm actually wheedling around to get to a post office box that is on my way home. And I really wish I knew exactly what the count was. But this is, we are somewhere around 16 more monthly payments on the retirement fund. And after I get those 16 more retirement payments taken care of, I basically just have to keep body and soul together for the next 10 years or so. And if I can do that, which there seems to be no reason that I couldn't do that, you know, I'm where I want to be on my retirement fund. So I'm getting close now. I've been saving. And I'm getting close. Which is fun. I actually have 2 numbers up on my board. One of them is the number of years and months until I retire, which is 11 years, 0 months at this point, because I can retire at 66 and 7 months, which I am 55 and 7 months I will be on this weekend, July the 5th. So that's one number, and then the other number is how many more payments I need to make into my retirement fund. and I think that's at 16 or 17 right now. I can't remember. I'm going to have to figure it back up again. I had it all figured out, and then I lost track. But it's somewhere around there. And I don't know if that includes the payment I just made or not. Anyways, whatever. Okay, so this week, I kind of started a topic last week about the female experience in the world, and blundered in places that I shouldn't probably comment on, but I have an opinion on everything, so, and my philosophy is everyone has a right to their own opinion. This week, I read a really interesting article several weeks ago that was all kind of going hand in hand with the young disturbed man who had tried to attack the sorority house out in California, and then the subsequent hashtag yes all women that had spun up out of that. And as kind of part of all that, I had come across this article that I think has, again, some interesting insights. And I found fascinating. I actually had to go back last night and review what I had said last week to make sure I hadn't already covered this, because typically when I was chatting with my friends about this, it was all bundled together. But I don't think I talked about this particular article too much last week. So that leaves it for this week. Anyways, the name of the article was "The Misguided Definition of Rape as Force." And it's by Mary Adkins May. This was from back in May. I picked this up back in May. And she relates how when she was going to Yale Law School, she had a professor, Jed Rubenfeld, who was the husband of Amy Chua, who wrote the book Tiger Mom, which I think I talked about on a podcast at some point. It was a very interesting book. She said he was a good teacher. He's charismatic and clear. She said, for the most part, she enjoyed his class. But on Rape Week, as it's known among his students due to controversial, provocative discussions on the topic, he called on this woman to answer a hypothetical question meant to demonstrate how inconsistent rape laws can be. The question was, if someone stuffed a banana into your mouth, would that be rape? And she said the class tittered a little bit, and she said, I said no. And he smiled approvingly. And most of the states agreed with me, he said. That would not be rape. I'm glad I'm not a lawyer. I mean, because that's got to be some kind of assault, but, you know, and the fact that, I don't know, I'm glad I'm not a lawyer. Anyways, I guess this professor then went on to detail all the inconsistencies about what is defined as rape and what is not defined as rape, and so his solution was to just say, look, if it's going to be rape, there has to be force involved. Now, that's not an answer or a solution that I would come up with, but he was specifically saying that someone saying no to another person is not enough to have it qualify as sexual assault if that person then proceeds to engage in sexual behavior with someone who is saying no. Well, that's moderately interesting viewpoint. I don't agree with it, but I thought what the what the writer of the article brought out as far as her own viewpoints was far more interesting than all of that. She said that, well, let me just finish up with this. So, because of all the stuff that goes on and misunderstandings, his view was the fact that sex took place while a person was saying no doesn't prove force. People are capable of voluntarily taking an action and participating in it as they say and mean no. Now, I don't... What? I don't... That seems like a completely slippery slope once you start down that. Well, they said no, but their eyes were saying yes. Oh, man. Let's... What? You know, and as long as they weren't forced into it, then obviously they didn't feel that much about it. Rightly so, the writer of the article said that as a student, she found it shockingly ignorant of the female experience. And this is the part that I started honing in on, because I'm very interested in understanding as much as I can in a cross-cultural way the great cross-cultural / gender divide that is men and women. I'm very understanding and interested in understanding experience. Because she then goes on to say that when she was in law school, and these are her words, she was obsessed with the simple fact that men are, for the most part, bigger than women. And she felt like the misunderstood implications of that were huge. She says that she felt like it put women in a position where if they are attacked, absent a weapon and some ability to handle it, odds are they will lose. She said women know this intimately and viscerally. We see the actual physical disparity around us. She said, we have been raised in a culture shaped around and by this power difference. Our knowledge of it, not the factual disparity itself so much, as the penetrating, all-consuming awareness of it, changes who we are, how we feel, how we act, and how we respond to acts of aggression and threats of aggression. Okay, now that to me is really, really interesting, because that resonates with things that I have experienced in my own life. The difference between the facts of my existence and an awareness of what I believe are the results of those facts. Because when I hear someone talking like this, what I hear is there are the facts of your existence, but then something is taking those facts of your existence and putting a spin on them. And if there is a negative spin on them, most likely that thing is the flesh. That's not to say the facts aren't true, but our interpretation of the facts really will define the qualities of our lives and how we respond. And the situation that came to mind as I'm talking about this is the situation with the man who was calling McDonald's and posing as a police officer and claiming that do you have a brown-haired young lady there with about shoulder-length hair? Well, okay, what McDonald's doesn't? Well, we think that maybe she was shoplifting because we have a complaint and we need you to retain her. And what this guy would do from a phone hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away, he would convince people to take a perfectly innocent young woman back in the back, tell her to strip down, take all her clothes, do things like jump up and down, bend over, you know, all this kind of stuff. And these supposedly perfectly sane managers, male and female, would do this to these young women because they had been told by an authority to do so. And in this one story that I told on the podcast, what snapped the situation out of its spiral that it was in with this one particular one woman is an older guy came in, sees this little young girl naked, clutching an apron, trying to cover herself, listens to this guy on the phone for a few minutes, walks out of the room and tells the manager, there is something wrong here. I am not doing what he's telling me to do. And all of a sudden, the manager realizes the problems with the current situation. Now, what I see happening there is a mechanism where there are some facts in the situation, but then the flesh takes those facts and blows them out and uses it for destruction. Okay, the facts are there is a voice on the phone that is claiming to be a police officer. The facts are the voice on the phone is claiming that a young lady has shoplifted. But then the flesh takes that stuff and turns it into, what in the world? I've got a thing postage paid to Mr. Phil Ferrand from Japan, from the District Civil Court. What? And it's all in Japanese. I have no idea what... I'm going to have to find somebody that speaks Japanese. English translation, which prepared for reference, is described in the following pages. What? Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm being... Wait, telephone... Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It looks like another phishing scam. I've never gotten anything from Japan before, though. Anyways, so there again, a fact. I received a postcard that says on it that it's from Japan, Tokyo District Civil Court, 20th Division. Okay, so I mean, I could listen to my flesh, and my flesh might be saying, oh, you know, you're getting sued over something. You better respond to that. You're getting sued over something. Or I could just say, okay, this is silly. If someone's wanting to write me, they probably would give it to me in English. So anyways, I'll get on the internet, do a little research in a little bit, and find out that it's a scam probably. So there is this disparity between facts and what our flesh does and how our flesh images life to us. And very clearly, the writer of this article is saying that when she was in law school, she was obsessed with this fact. And it wasn't the fact itself, but her all-consuming awareness of this fact that men were bigger and stronger. That... one moment. That influences who we are, this is her words, who we are, how we feel, how we act, and how we respond to acts of aggression and threats. She said, resist and risk becoming a victim. Another statistic, a person who spends the next 10 years paying $150 to $200 a week to a therapist to parse the moment, relive it, process it, and attempt to understand the heinous ribbon of emotion it unfurled so that she can finally move on. But rationalize away the situation, decide not to say no in order to retain some sense of agency in the situation, and she need not become a victim. She gets to maintain her non-victim status in the world. And she goes on to relate a couple of situations where when she was 16, she followed a boy into the woods. And she said, I let him push my face down and hold it against his crotch and then pull open his pants and shove my face inside. She said, I still remember what I was wearing. She said, the scene is etched into my memory in a permanent gag-inducing way. She said, why didn't I fight back? What would have meant if I had fought back and he didn't stop? you know, did it mean that I had been sexually assaulted, raped? She said, I couldn't imagine being raped, so I wasn't. She said, I felt smarter than him for figuring this out. She said, I was smarter than him. He had a beer gut at 17 and had hardly passed geometry. I, the highest scorer on the school on the national math exam, was going to go on and do great things while he stayed behind, forcing gestures of love. She said, later that year, apparently when she was still 16, she said, I had the same dress at the gas station, sitting in the passenger seat of my friend's teal Honda Civic, yelling at a stranger from the open window. Hey, guy, will you buy us some cigarettes? She said, I waved a 10 at him. He took it and returned with the change and the cigarettes, and when he handed them to me, he grabbed my chest, a handful of it. He kept his eyes on mine while he squeezed, and then he pulled his hand back casually and walked away like it was just part of our transaction. She said, I remember feeling shaken but still whole as we drove down the street that we had driven down thousands of times before. I never wanted to see the man again. I hated him, but I remained intact, headed to a party while I was sure there was some boy I was crushing on and did want to see. It was as if, because I hadn't fallen apart, I could decide that nothing happened at all. She said, in order to avoid victimhood and maintain simple victimless personhood, women can be extraordinarily, stunningly rational. We can rationalize away acts of violence simply because we don't want them to be real. Perhaps if I decided that it didn't happen, it didn't. Perhaps if I decide that it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't. But other times, victimhood is thrust upon us. So she goes on, several more terrible, terrible stories. About some of her friends that have resisted, other of her friends who didn't resist. And I was discussing this with a young couple that I had gone to breakfast, I go to breakfast with every Saturday. And I mentioned to her, I said, this gets really, really complicated. And she nodded her head. She said, yeah. She said, I don't know how in the world did you... You know, what is, what isn't rape? But to me, what comes out of all this situation is trying, and I'm not going to say that I have an answer for this, but trying to decipher. This is something to think about, you know, trying to decipher what is fact in the world and what is the amplification of concern that the flesh will do as it tries to make you think that the world is something that it might not be. And I certainly am not qualified to know where that line is drawn, but I have drawn the line in my own life and tried to draw it in an open way. I remember one example that I think I've mentioned on the podcast. I was in Walmart. I try to keep my head up in Walmart, smile and talk to people. I was looking at some flowers and these two young men came up, you know, kind of laughing what felt like derisively at me. Hey buddy, you know some of this? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And they laughed, like it was some kind of inside joke. And we sat there and chit-chatted for a while, and finally they wandered off. I never really was sure exactly what that was all about. But I can certainly understand if I had not been pursuing and held to certain principles, how that could have struck a chord of fear in my heart. This is really a difficult thing. Because I really need to chat with my daughter and see what her life experience has been. You know, I just need to chat with my daughter. Because it's so sad if we are actually at a place where the facts are that all women are assaulted. That's very, very sad. So like I said, I'm a little loopy today because I haven't eaten anything for 48 hours. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. One of the great things about getting older is you just hopefully get more and more information and hopefully along the way become wiser and wiser. Yeah. So now I'm really getting tired. So I'm going to go. This is Phil Farron. I have made it home.